Good morning. Last Sunday, the message title here was The Perfect Church by Brian Good. And this morning, we're going to stay with another church theme with the title, The Beauty of Church Structure. The Beauty of Church Structure. If you were watching your Brian bulletin, you will realize that this is a topic I was given, and I shared this at Brian's about a month or so ago. But this morning, what we want to look at is the benefits of an organized church that will enable spiritual growth and productivity by giving people the opportunity to serve, to teach, and contribute to the life of the church while promoting spiritual growth in their own lives. And yes, that was quite a mouthful. But when we think about church, are we here this morning just simply doing church? Or are we here, as this is talking about here, promoting spiritual growth in our lives? So what we're trying to do, is create a church setting where people are given the opportunity to exercise their talents and abilities with a goal in mind that we would grow in our spiritual walk with the Lord. So it's not that, oh no, here comes the Sunday school superintendent again. I'm going to turn around and run. No, it's not that. It's that, oh boy, here he comes. Maybe he's going to ask me, and I will have the opportunity to teach. Thank you for all the amens. But do we look at it that way? Like, hey, there's an opportunity that I got. I can lead out in this class. And other areas as well. It's not just in Sunday school class. But the beauty of church structure. And 3 points. Growth, service, and opportunity. And the first thing that we see here is a structured church will paint a beautiful picture. A structured church will paint a beautiful picture. Structure means to construct or arrange according to a plan or given a pattern organization to. Involved in building myself as well as some others here. I do some drawing on CAD as well as some others here. And what we do, we draw this up, then we give it to our crew, and they say, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. And if we did our job right and do their job right, it'll work most times. But structure is when you follow according to a plan. And the opposite of structure can be described by using several terms similar like disorder, chaos, or disorganization. So we're not looking at that. We're looking at church structure. You may have heard it said that church doesn't just happen. Yeah, some things will happen by default, but not a church service. Church services require schedules. Church services require organization and willing people who are prepared to faithfully fulfill their responsibility. I hope not, but did you ever ask the question, maybe we're too overly structured in our services here at Myerstown? Maybe we're too, these pastor man, they're just overly structured. Can't they relax a little bit? Allow me to read a verse. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of the saints. And I read that verse to say, disorder and chaos are not original with God. Disorder and chaos are not original with Him. He's a God of peace and order. So if we feel we're too much structure here at church and we're lacking flexibility, remember that the God that we are serving is a God of peace and order. I believe organization is a key ingredient in life. So whether you're at your workplace, at home in the kitchen, ladies, working out in your shop, I think everything needs to be in its proper place to allow for a profitable day. And I think it ties into church as well. People need to see an organized unit and feel a structured setting. Men, are your shops organized? If your wife calls you in your work and says, Where is this tool? Can you say, that's in that drawer right there in the back corner? Don't have an answer for that question. As a salesman for pool buildings, I get into people's garages and shops. It's just kind of the way things go. And many times, people will apologize for their, quote, mess. I didn't say a word. That's just they apologize. Oh, please excuse the mess. We're in the middle of a project. Why? Well, they apologize because most people like to see and experience a garage or work area where everything is in its proper place. And they're embarrassed when it's in disarray. And we don't want that to happen in our church setting. But it's the same, I feel it's the same way here at church. An organized, well-structured church setting will allow the service to flow better. There are many people that have taken their part already this morning, and it's a blessing. And we thank you for that. Everything just seems to flow. We're blessed by that. But I think, and feel you would agree, that church should be a welcoming place. No, don't take me wrong. I'm not promoting a fancy church with a large gym attached to the side. But when people step inside our doors, the church should feel inviting. And this will begin with a welcoming congregation as well as a clean, well-organized church. And that will produce an inviting atmosphere. There's so much goes in to a service, and we're blessed here. But before we get into the subjects of spiritual growth, service, and opportunity, I'd like to make note of one more key ingredient that is needed to promote all three of these subjects. And that primary ingredient required to promote a well-structured church service is the word unity. And I believe that if we're going to have see the beauty of a structured church setting, we're going to see unity within. So unity needs to come from all its members as well as our ministry team. Unity is defined as a people with a unified purpose. And trust me, I'm not saying we don't have it here. We do. And I'm blessed by that. Unity is working together even when there is disagreement. When you have 175, 200 people, not everyone are going to agree with the exact same way, but unity happens even when there is disagreement. Unity is a condition of harmony, and unity happens when people come together with a common goal. As Zach mentioned, we're here this morning to do what? We're here to worship. So we need to set aside our distractions and worship. Unity happens when people come together with a common goal. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that verse has always intrigued me. The writer of Romans says, if it be possible. Well, obviously it's possible. But what do we see from that? Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to put forth everything we have to promote peace. And here we see that unity and peace will require effort. Matthew 5:18, blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. If you're here this morning and you're a peacemaker, God says the blessing will rest upon you. To achieve the beauty of a structured church, everyone has a part to fulfill. So if you're here this morning, you have a responsibility. You have a part to fulfill. Are we all doing our part? It will require all hands on deck, so to speak, and you are needed to reach the goal of a beautiful, structured church setting. But back to the thought of unity, I strongly believe that a congregation will struggle to rise above the level of unity that they see in their ministry team. And now I'm talking about myself, but a church will struggle if they see disunity in their ministry team. I believe there are a number of things that can hinder spiritual growth in a congregation, but I also believe that unrest in a ministry team can quickly hinder the desire for spiritual growth and service in the work of the Lord. Allow me to add, we are blessed with a unified team here at Myerstown. So there is beauty in structure, but structure will be difficult without unity. With unity and everyone striving towards the goal, there will be a beauty in an organized church. Structure will remove confusion. Structure will remove frustration as well as stress, and structure will promote peace and growth. So when your Sunday school superintendents come and they have all their I's dotted and T's crossed, thank them for that. And each one who did their job this morning, thank you. Continue to press on. Point number one is growth. Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Plants and trees need to be planted to grow. And those of you who have gardens, most likely, prepared a nice soft seed bed. This goes back a couple months with good soil to put your seeds in, hoping for an abundant crop. And this verse is telling us that those who are planted in the church, those who are involved in the church, growing in the Lord, those who are teaching and preaching the word, those who are leading singing, and the list could go on, you're in the church, you're providing and receiving nourishment from the word, and that's the verse talking about. Those are the people who are going to flourish in the courts of God. And this verse paints a beautiful picture of beauty of church structure. Those who are planted are going to flourish. Those who are planted are going to flourish. Are you involved? Are you doing your part? Are you fulfilling your role in the church? If a young child is not growing, we get concerned and we wonder, is there a problem? If the rows that you plant in your garden are not growing, we try to figure out what is wrong. What happened? And the same concept is true in our spiritual lives. There needs to be spiritual growth year after year, or there is reason for concern. So we ask the question, are you growing in your spiritual lives? 2 Peter 3:18, one of my favorite verses, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Excuse me. As Christians grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, they establish a firm spiritual foundation. This is necessary for your walk, for your spiritual walk, and for mine. We need to continue to grow. Here we see a key ingredient for solid, structured churches, continuing to grow to be more and more like Christ, imitating his character, and doing our best to conduct our lives after the pattern that Jesus set for us. Are we growing in our spiritual walk? Are we growing in our spiritual lives? A quote from John MacArthur, I quote, "Pursuing Christian maturity and a deepening knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will lead to doctrinal stability and prevent a Christian from being led astray," end quote. Do we get the point? We see, the trees put down deep roots. Exactly. Are we in our spiritual lives so that we can grow strong in the Lord, which will lead to doctrinal stability? Praise the Lord. That's our goal. And to prevent a Christian from being led astray. Amen. Let's not go that route. How do we avoid that? Deep roots. Knowledge of the Word of God. A strong, stable, structured church requires growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Is that our desire? Are we thirsty for that in our personal devotional time? I need more of this as I grow in my walk with the Lord. We properly feed our children. We try to keep weeds out of our gardens. Some people, us included, we fertilize our lawns. Basically, we go to great measures to promote growth for our children, gardens, and lawns. Are we as intentional in promoting growth in our spiritual lives? We live in a world of much, and we need to be careful that our priorities are in line. I'm not saying it's wrong to pull weeds in your garden, feed your children healthy food, and fertilize your lawn. My question is, are we as intentional in our spiritual lives, growing spiritually in the Lord? A quote from a recent Good Life Ministry brochure, I quote, "I wonder why so many churches struggle to grow. It often begins with what we sow into the lives of our children. We need to be intentional in spreading the gospel," end quote. Wow. What causes strong churches? What we are sowing into the lives of our children. What we are sowing into the lives of our children. Another familiar quote, which I mentioned before, what we feed will grow and what we starve will die. And I say that with a question, are we sowing good seeds into the lives of the next generation? We all have a responsibility. Are we doing our part? We feed our children a well-balanced diet to promote good physical health. Are we as intentional in feeding our children and congregation with the meat of the word to promote healthy spiritual lives? If we're sick physically, we take pills, go to the doctor, XYZ, no problem with that. But are we doing our part? Are we healthy spiritually? Are our hearts healthy spiritually? Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yes, we started as babes in Christ. We grew into mature Christians. We're taking the meat of the word. We're not keeping it to ourselves. We're passing it on. We're helping the church grow into a strong, healthy church. I would agree with the Good Life brochure. The outcome of our children and ultimately our churches, since our children are the future church, will begin with what we feed them or sow into their lives. Brothers and sisters, are we doing our part? We all have a responsibility. Growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord will lead to wisdom, which I need, I feel we all need, and the ability to discern between what is good and what is right and what is wrong. Where does that come from? Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. If the saying, more is caught than taught, is true, if that saying is true, then we need to be intentional and consistent leaders in our homes and in our church. What parents do in moderation, our children will do in excess. What parents do in moderation, our children will do in excess. And here's another warning to be diligently following the commandments that God has given to us and to be carefully sowing good seeds. I'm not going to elaborate upon that. I think we all have in our mind what that means, but what we do in moderation, our children will take that and double it. We got to be careful. We cannot expect our children and our church to grow to be something we as parents are not. We can't go through life saying, well, don't do as I do as I say. It doesn't work. A proper diet will promote growth both physically and spiritually. Point number two, service, meaning the occupation or function of service, of serving. And I looked at that, like that's kind of basic, so I did a little more digging. I like this definition a little bit better. Contribution to the welfare of others. So many served this morning. Brother Joe led us in some singing. He had Sunday, Kurt led us in Sunday school. Randy had a devotional. Ushers took care of the offering. Contribution to the welfare of others. They were doing what they did to enhance our spiritual lives. Are we contributing to the welfare of others? Remember, we're looking at the benefits of an organized church that enables spiritual growth. And it goes on to say, and to contribute to the life of the church. And this means each one of us, while promoting spiritual growth in our lives. In what ways can we as parents or church leaders promote willing workers? School teachers are in great demand. Mission organizations are searching for people to fill the empty spots on the mission field. And sometimes leaders wonder what the best ways are to motivate our people to go. You heard it said before, we should all be ready to go, but willing to stay home. No, I'm not saying that everyone needs to go. We need to be people at home as well. But are we willing workers, willing to serve the Lord? On Tuesday, July 15th, Mary and I took Shane, Therese, and Leah to the airport. You all are well aware of that, as we plan to serve there in Greece for a number of years. And he made a comment at the commissioning service, which you probably were here and heard this, but I'd like just to repeat it. A comment that blessed my heart. He said this, I quote from Shane, "We feel confident to go knowing there's a stable church behind us." And he was talking about you. And I'm not trying to exalt our church here at Myerstown, but greatly blessed that Shane and Teresa can go knowing there's a stable church behind them through their journey. Stable, structured churches will promote willing workers. Yes, ultimately, it's the Lord who calls people to go in the mission field. And along with that, at the same time, a structured church will greatly assist workers as they make the decision to go for a time of service. Thank you for his comment there, what he said, a stable church behind them, that would be each one of you. While workers are needed in the field, there are a number of service opportunities in our home community as well. Not everyone has to go. We can serve from our home. Moving on to service here at Myerstown, as you well know, we have business meetings scheduled twice a year. It's a time during those meetings we elect people to serve in various roles in the church. So prior to that meeting, the ministry team puts together a list of names to ask for a certain position, and Zach takes the time. He asks the people that are willing to serve on the slate for this position, and it works. And different churches do things different ways, but one thing we need to remember is that we may not know the gift or the talents that are within our church here until we give some people the opportunity to serve on a position. We may not know their gifts or talents until we ask them to serve. And many times, it's amazing to see someone take their responsibility for the first time. So maybe you were not sure how they would do, but when given the opportunity, you're impressed with their ability. And over the years here at church, we've seen couples work together very well, possibly our youth advisors. Thank you to them. And also our Sunday school, or maybe at summer Bible school, when couples work together, another thank you there. You give the people the responsibility and consider it done. And it is such a blessing. Such a blessing. What can we learn here? We need to allow people to exercise their gifts and talents. There are many areas of service on the church level. We need to be willing to allow our people to serve. And yes, you may experience someone serving for the first time. But then you think back and you remember, well, even your favorite pastor who's been preaching for 20 years, if you go back, he had his first message one time. Or you may have a favorite song leader, but if you go back a number of years, he led singing for the first time one Sunday morning many, many years ago. We got to give the people a chance. At a meeting one time recently, a man commented that he's just not sure how his daughter's new boyfriend is going to treat her. And I think fathers, as you get to that age, you understand what he was talking about. But a wise man at that meeting said, you need to give him a chance. And I sat there and thought, you know how true that is. You need to give him a chance. In that case, to prove his ability to respectfully spend time with his daughter. We need to give him a chance. Now we're going to go back to the idea of business meetings again. At a recent meeting, I kind of gleaned from some meetings I sit at, a brother said that at their church, allow me to add, this is a Keystone Church. So if you're looking for a place to go, tap them afterwards and I'll help you out. But a brother said at their church, they do not give the people the option of saying yes or no when they're asked to serve on the slate to fill an open position. Anybody want to transfer their membership? He said, everyone needs to serve. Yes, this was a smaller church setting, and I'm not saying we need to follow this method, but people all are asked to serve, and their talents and their abilities are quickly exposed. And I want to thank you, Randy mentioned it. Thank you for your willingness to teach this coming term. What a blessing. This brother also mentioned that about 30% of their people have served or are serving the mission somewhere. And my point to this is, give the people a chance. We need to give our people a chance. Maybe not every member will respond the way Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And maybe the Sunday school superintendents were saying, well, who can teach this class? And someone said, oh, here am I, I'll teach it. What a blessing. So thank you for your willingness. I think many people in our churches will be willing to be used if someone would take the time to tap them on the shoulder and ask. Filling a position at church takes time and preparation. Man, Brother Kurt was well prepared this morning, in case you hadn't noticed. Taught well. Questions to ask to generate conversation. That didn't come this morning when he woke up. I didn't ask him, but I'm sure he spent a lot of time in preparation. Randy had a very good devotion this morning. I'm sure he did too. Joe, I'm sure he sat down yesterday or this morning and picked his songs he wanted. Good job. Was blessed. Church takes time. Preparation. But it also creates a healthy sense of humble responsibility, knowing that you are needed here this morning. Someone took the time to ask you to serve. Someone saw the possibility of a hidden spiritual gift within. And church flows when that happens. In the recent years, you're well aware, we have been on high alert for song leaders here at Myerstown. And trying to uncover some hidden talents. And one time a man, which is here this morning, he said, you know what? He said, my brother-in-law might be willing to lead singing. And his brother-in-law was asked and did a fine job. Just a way of uncovering hidden talents. But what can we learn? Seek hidden gifts and talents. Ask your people to serve. And most importantly, give them a chance. Point number three is opportunity. Opportunity is defined as a good chance for advancement or progress. Speaking about advancement or progress. Life is a journey, both spiritually and physically. And in both cases, we begin as a baby, in life and in Christ. But we were not 1 week old for more than one day. And my point here is that we keep on growing day after day into mature adults. On the spiritual side, we should continue growing closer and closer to Christ, more like Him as we read and study His Word. We learn by, they say, trial and error. We also learn by trying, and patience, practice makes perfect. So what am I saying here? We need to seize the opportunities that are given for advancement or progress. Seize the opportunities. Yes, I'm encouraging you to sometimes take your schedule, set it aside, and seize the opportunity. Question. Is there ever a time to say, well, I served in my day. It's time for the younger generation to take their responsibility. No, I'm not that age yet where I can say that. But I'll let you answer that question. Along with that, that is sometimes people of older people come up with that and say, well, I served. I'm done. Well, is there ever a time to say that? I think we all heard someone say, when I was young, we had to walk to school. That's fine. Then they add on the end of that, uphill both ways, as they're trying to tell us their life is hard. And all this, I say, the younger generation will take responsibility by default. It's going to happen. As you grow older, you will take more and more responsibilities. But I want to put a plug in for the older people. And there's a good friend of mine calls me old already, so myself included. To seize the opportunity to serve as long as possible. And I say as possible. I know there comes a time where it's just not going to work. But it always blesses my heart to see older people, ones faithfully serving and be willing to teach, lead out in the younger generation. Many of you here this morning remember, if you go back a number of years, Dan Hurst come walking up front to lead singing. And if you know Dan, he struggled walking, but he was willing to come up front, put his cane here, and lead us in singing and walk back again. Took a lot of effort, but Dan did it. He could have said, you know what, I can't walk well. Let someone else do it. Let some younger guys do it. And we probably would have agreed with him, but he was willing to do it. Just an example there, willing to do his part. Regardless of your age, look for ways for advancement or progress in your spiritual life. At a recent service here at Myerstown, if you have a good memory, you'll know who I'm talking about. I did not talk to this brother prior to, but here we go. We brought a few new members into fellowship here at church, and followed by a time of prayer and dedication for them. And I asked two young men to lead out in prayer. And for the one, this was a new experience, but he agreed and did great. And I missed him after service, so I sent him a text message and thanking him for being willing to be used. And this is the reply I got back. Thanks. I need to get more comfortable doing things like that, so that was a help. He's telling me, you know what? Although it wasn't easy, I need more help in getting out. And it's just, it was such a blessing. He was willing to be used, yes, though possibly out of his normal comfort zone. What did this young man do? He seized the opportunity for advancement or progress in his spiritual journey through life. Willing to be stretched and excited to grow more comfortable in that setting. And I add here, what a blessing. He's sitting here this morning, and we'll talk to him afterwards. But I question, are you willing to be stretched? You look at a rubber band in its normal position, it's almost worthless. But if you give it some stretch, you can do a lot of things with it. What about in our spiritual lives? Are we willing to be stretched? Or would you say, hey, I plateaued, here's where I'm at, like it or no. We're willing to be stretched. We go back to 2 Peter 3:18, growing in grace and knowledge. And when you grow, it's not just Monday and Tuesday. No, it's every day of the week, all year long. Serving in a home setting or church setting is such a blessing and should be considered a great opportunity for growth. If you're a Sunday school teacher, many of you are the one who's going to get the most out of the lesson you teach. Why it works that way, I'm not sure, because you spend most time preparing it. Give it your all. Go to church prepared. Lead out in class and make the lesson exciting. Do not begin class with a disclaimer. I was told this by a man that's here many years ago. He said, never do that. So now that I started it, I would rather not hear this in the Sunday school classes. Good morning. I had a busy week. I invite your help and comments this morning. The fact of it is, we all had a busy week, friends. We all had a busy week. So you're telling your class, you know, studying for this lesson was not as important as my schedule. So here we go. Do not begin class with a disclaimer. Seize the opportunity. Some say, take the bull by the horns. Give it your all. Exercise your talents and abilities and allow yourself to be stretched as you grow in your spiritual journey. Yes, sometimes we get nervous and say stuff like them disclaimers. I understand, but as a rule of thumb, come prepared. Wake up early, get ready, and teach the lesson. There's many opportunities here at church, but also outside of church. If you feel the Lord calling you to go for extended period of service, be a willing worker. A man once said, and I don't have this word for word, but the point was, the Anabaptists are starting a lot of mission outreaches, and soon there's going to be a shortage of people to go. And I think we would all agree that is the case today. We start a lot of outreaches, which is good. Opportunity is good. But I encourage you to go if you feel the Lord calling. Most of us are familiar with Reach, that their conference that Faith Builders puts on every other year. If you're looking for opportunity, that's a good place to go. A lot of the mission outreaches come together there, and you can walk around and see what they have to offer. The next one will be, if I'm not mistaken, in 2027. Two questions. We're getting close to the end here. Two questions. Number one, how do you feel about church here at Myerstown? And you don't have to answer. We can talk about this later. How do you feel about church at Myerstown? Secondly, do you think it's a well-organized and structured? Just something to think about. Some of you have, myself included, have come from other churches. How do you feel we are doing church? Is there ways we can improve? Talk to Zach. He can help you out. We'll throw Zach on the bus this morning. He has a big bus. I want to read a little saying that's been hanging on a refrigerator for a long time at our house. And the title is, "This is My Church." It is composed of people just like me. It will be friendly if I am. It will do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am generous. It will bring others into fellowship if I bring them. Its seats will be filled if I fill them. It will be a church of loyalty and love, of faith and service, if I, who make it that what it is, am filled with these. Therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all those things I want my church to be. Did you catch that closing statement? Church will be what we make it. We all have a responsibility here at church to be what we want our church to be. Yes, some things happen by default, but not a well-organized church setting. We all have a part to fill. In conclusion, be a peacemaker, a promoter of unity. Feed your children and church as well. Be a promoter of growth. Give your people a chance. Be willing to allow people to serve. Seize the opportunities to serve and encourage others to be open to the Lord's calling in their lives. So some of this is for the church leaders to give the people a chance, but some is for each one of us to seize the opportunities to serve. When we all do our part, we will experience the beauty of church structure. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning just so thankful, Lord, how you have promised that you will build your church. And you have said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And thank you, Lord, that when we are part of your church, we're on the winning side. Help us, Lord, to be plugged in, to be part of your church. And you have promised to bless those that just plug in and do their part. Thank you, God, for each one of the willing workers here this morning. Bless them as they go about there and fulfill their responsibilities. Bless their study time. Pray their schedules can allow for plenty of studying, that you just be with them. Pray that each Sunday school teacher can come well prepared and each class could be blessed. Bless the ministry team as well as they take their part and prepare messages. And Lord, may we all do our part. Our part, God, to make, just as we go about seeing the beauty of church structure. In your name we pray. Amen.